You are in one of my favorite areas of the country in Seattle, and the book that you've just written, Turn This Book Into a Beehive, I think you're taking it beyond a hands-on approach to bees. I mean, we're using the whole book here, huh?
Yeah, it's a books-on approach, I suppose, yeah. I had read an article a while back about the honeybee hive collapse disorder that's going on. And,
yes.
And it was really, it was a threatening and scary article that talked about, you know, the bees, and they're responsible for 75% of the fruit that we and vegetables that we eat, and if the bees die, then our food will be gone. And it was just this very dark take on this, and it's a scary phenomenon. And I thought, gosh, you know what? All it did was point out the problem. It didn't point out anything that we could do to make it better.
Right.
So that's what I started doing some digging, and it turns out that we have all these wild bee species that if you actually build a little house for them, they'll come, and they turn out to be amazing pollinators, so they can help alleviate the pressure that we're putting on the honeybees.
And, you know, I think it's time we took a little bit of the fear of bees away from people. They see a bee, and they immediately want to swat it. Not the right thing to do.
No. And in fact, it's funny. Before I wrote the book, I was that person, not swat it, but run away. Like I heard a buzz and I would run away. And now that I've done all this research about, you know, bees, why they sting, most of them don't, you know, that now I hear a buzz and I look and I go, what are you?
Do you think most people realize there's more than one species of bee? We see a bee and it's a bee.
I think that most people, if they're like me, before I knew all this stuff, I think most people, when they think of bees, they think of honeybees, which are they live in a social hive. That fascinating biology. They live in a social hive, one queen, all these worker bees, they make honey. But that actually is not the case. That's the 2% of all the bees on the planet are social bees. 98% are wild and solitary bees. So they live near each other, but kind of on their own. They like to have, you know, sort of like a condo. They, they're bees that live in the ground. They're bees that live in holes that other insects have dug. There are bees that live in the hollow spaces in grasses. And they're these amazingly remarkable bees. The bees that we're hoping to draw with the book are mason bees. And there are there are mason bees in every state in the United States, all different species. I think there's like 150 different types of mason bees.
Wow.
And they nest in these in grasses, in tubes. That's where they find. And they're amazing. Every girl's a queen. That's what the difference between solitary and social bees.
Huh.
So the social beehive, there's one queen, and all the other females that are working in the hive are worker bees. They don't lay the eggs. All the genetic information comes from that one queen. It passes it down to the next generation.
Wow.
With these solitary bees, every girl's a queen, and it's sort of like a single mom, right? She comes out, she finds the home, she goes and she gathers the food, she makes a pile of food inside a tube of grass, and then she lays an egg on top of that, and then she goes out and gets mud, comes back in, spackles a wall, and creates these little capsules within the grasses or the hollow tubes. Inside of each is an egg on a pile of food, which will develop into a bee.
That really redefines busy as a bee.
No kidding, doesn't it? I know.
It really does. Now, I want to go back to your book. We really do want people to turn the book into a beehive. This is very cool, and it's a wonderful thing to sit down with your kids and give them that wonderful learning opportunity, isn't it?
I think so. And my big soapbox is that, you know, I love science. I love making hard things accessible, right? And one of the things I love about, especially with science, is that, and art really, that you can do these things with stuff you already have at home. You don't need fancy materials.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I wanted it to be, sort of self-contained. Here's a book that tells you everything about bees, social and solitary, how they fly, how they smell, how they, you know, taste, the history and all that stuff. And then the last signature of pages, the last section, is only printed as illustration, because you're meant to tear those pages out and roll them into tubes. And then you take the cover, which is a waterproof material, it's a slip cover, you turn it inside out, and then you slip the rolled tubes in there and hang that in a sunny spot in your garden or your orchard or your yard or your fire escape or whatever, and these wild bees will come and make a home in there.
I love it. I've got the book in my hands right now, and this is fun. I don't want to give it up to anybody else, but we are going to give our listeners a chance to win their very own copy of the book. Lynn, you're a 4-time Emmy Award winner. You're a writer for Bill Nye the Science Guy. who is a blast in and of himself. You have such a creative lifestyle with him, don't you?
Oh my gosh, it's so much fun. It was that I loved the show, you know. Again, how do you make things that are kind of difficult accessible? You make it funny and fun. I think that's the bottom line.
It really is. And you've written, wow, do I have this correct, 45 books?
Yeah, I think it's around 45 books, yeah.
What drives you?
You know what's fun for me is learning, right? It's like every time I get to write an article or write a book or anything, I get to become a little bit of a mini expert on this. And it's exciting because I get to learn, and it's fun too because then I get to sort of see how fun it is to learn and then turn around and try and find a way to share that with kids to get them as excited about, this world is pretty amazing.
You know, it really is. And we haven't been the kindest to the bees in the world. Sometimes I think we're terrible stewards of our own earth. And being able to go back and do something like this, I think giving it back makes a big difference, doesn't it?
I really do. You know, I don't think that we intend to be terrible stewards.
Yeah.
I think that we get focused on ourselves, and it's hard to sometimes think outside of, you know, we spray pesticides on our garden because we don't want the bugs to come and bug our vegetables. But I don't think we're thinking necessarily the next step. You know, if you're spraying something that is killing a bug, that's something that's killing an organism that's a lot smaller than you, but it's also a toxin. So you have to think about where that's going to go when that's breaking down. One of the sections in the book is all these natural things that you can create to deter these bugs and not hurt the earth. You know, baking soda is an amazing thing. You can make a garlic spray that will get rid of aphids, you know. And so there are these natural things that you can use that are not going to be hard on the environment because, you know, we've got these bees really are a keystone species, which is, it means that the plants and animals depend on that species for survival. So if that species is removed from the, you know, from the pile, it's like a big Jenga tower, right? You take that out, it's all going to collapse. And including us, we're part of that Jenga tower. So I think we just have to start to be a little bit more mindful about our place in this environment, that we're not just that it's not just serving at our pleasure. We need to actually be more more in tune with it.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. And you're touring right now, and I think one of the most beautiful areas of our country in Seattle. What is it like? I mean, you do the book signings, but you also go into the schools and do visits. Are there any questions from the kids that still surprise you to this day?
You know, what surprises me and delights me every single time is that there is enthusiasm. There's absolute enthusiasm for learning this stuff. I get a lot of parents and sometimes teachers coming up to me saying, oh, you know, I'm not really a science person. And I'm thinking, yeah, you are. We all are. Because, you know, starting from when we're in a high chair and we're dropping that first pea off the, you know, that's an experiment in gravity. We just lose sight of how spectacular things are as we grow older. And it's lovely to go into the schools because they haven't lost that enthusiasm yet. And more important, they're our future, right? So if we get them to love and be passionate about learning and the world and the environment and science and, you know, creating and all that stuff, I think I have a bright hope for our future.
You know, I think that's a perfect way to wrap up our interview because I feel the same way, too. Lynn, if someone wants to get the book, get in contact with you, check out a website, social media, where should we send them?
I have a website, which is www.lynnbrunell.com. There's also a website at Workman Publishing. And the books themselves they should be in bookstores everywhere at this point, yeah.
Well, if they're not, we'll make sure they are. We'll ask for them by name.
Yeah, that would be delightful.
Well, Lynn, enjoy the rest of your tour, and I look forward to speaking with you again. I figure with 45 books under your belt, there's got to be at least a couple more coming our way.
Let's hope so, right?
I hope so, too. Thank you so much.